You show me a behavior that you value but exhausts you, and I'll show you a wound that needs healing. Do you give and give and give and feel like you're taken for granted? Do you chase one achievement after the next but still feel you haven't done all that much? Do you always offer to help and regret it because you end up doing it all, often for people you don't care that much about anyway? Generosity, being accomplished, helpfulness, they're all wonderful traits, aren't they? And if you're someone who displays them, you might also express them as one of your values. But here's a secret. Values aren't supposed to exhaust you. So before I go on, this is not to say that someone who gives and achieves and helps and does it just because of the joy it brings them is in the wrong. For those people, they may indeed be their true values, and that's wonderful. I'm talking about the people who do those things, or in fact, anything which is objectively a positive, likable behavior. For example, diligence, problem solving, being the life and soul of the party, being the organizer, et cetera, but resents it because they don't feel their work is appreciated. I'm talking about you. We become good at what we practice. But what we practice may have a strategy behind it rather than a desire or a value. When we're young, we are learning very quickly what earns us praise and avoids us punishment. This is basic and base conditioning. And this association can occur before we even have time to process cognitively and understand what's happening. And even if it wasn't deliberate and our parents were just doing their best to help us grow into empowered adults, mistakes can be made. And life happens in ways that they may not have expected, and their intentions may actually be slightly askewed. The child who loses a parent at a young age may become a caregiver to others because he or she felt they needed to, and they needed to step up. Or the child whose parents neglected their emotional needs may become overly generous and helpful because they're seeking love. The child whose talents weren't valued may become the life and soul of the party because if I can make you laugh, you'll still want me around. The same may be true of the achievement chaser. If I'm on top, you'll notice me. Psychologist William Schutz said that our need for social interaction of varying degrees was as essential to health as food and water. And as such, if what we authentically needed was inclusion, affection, and love or being seen, we might go to great lengths to achieve this. Although we don't always realize how great those lengths are until we get to adulthood and think, I am so tired. Why am I still doing this? So try this folder test from Acceptance and Commitment Therapy. If you've listened to my previous podcast, you'll have heard me talk about this one. Hold a folder in front of your face. For ACT practitioners, this is like the critical voice in our head, and it tells us whether we're good or pretty or successful enough. And part of that critique is that there's also a pain included in there because we want to be loved or included or accepted. See if you can identify what that critique actually is. Now reflect on how easy or not it is to go about your daily tasks whilst holding that folder. You'll probably find it distracting because we're always trying to push that voice away. Hold that folder out at arm's length because that's tiring too. Now try and identify what you do to stop that critical voice. Do you chase qualifications? Do you make sure you finish your work and the work of the rest of your team for fear of reprisal? Are you overly generous with your time, energy, and love, giving so much and getting little in return, or perhaps a mix of all of those things? See if you can pinpoint that behavior that you appreciate, that you want others to show you, and that you're doing a lot of, but it's absolutely exhausting you. And now see if you can tweak that value so it serves you better. So here's an example. I have a client to whom it was constantly implied he was not good enough. So he learned that being helpful got him accepted. And he continued to carry that helpfulness through to adulthood, seeing it as a positive value, at the same time questioning why he really didn't want to offer it. We tweaked that value to caring because when he reflected on the word caring, it enabled him to think about the skill of helping, but also whether he cared enough about that person or the situation that they were facing to offer such a well-honed skill. But values are not skills. Whatever skill you've developed is not to be dismissed. It's wonderful. But when it comes to lived values, they are things which drive your choices without the need for qualification. If you don't want to help everybody, that's okay. But helpfulness, at least not as the action, is probably not one of your values. However, you can care for everyone, and this may affect how you respond to them and what you say to them and whether you offer your help or not. So perhaps caring is your value, but helping is the skill. So let's have a think about whether you can do the same with other skills which you may previously have held as values. Generosity as a value may change to being supportive, because there you choose who you wish to support. Being accomplished may change to being dedicated or being focused, because there you can be focused or dedicated to something you want to do for you. Good sense of humor may change to read the situation well. I know this sounds clunky, but the tweak has to be what you find meaningful as a lived value, the emotional motivation, which you're happy to guide your actions every day, not something that you feel compelled to do to subconsciously prove your worth. And you are worth it without the skill. You are, in fact, in a very privileged position because you have developed a skill, diligence, helpfulness, good sense of humor, and you've become great at it. But know that you don't have to use that skill all the time to try to fill the emotional void that it was originally created to do. Sadly, the void ought not to have been created in the first place. That was probably someone else's influence, and you no longer have to accept it. As ACT teachers, you are not what you think nor even feel about yourself. You're simply a whole and wonderful being. Like the sky, any thoughts and feelings that you have may come and go like clouds. And this is what I try to work on with clients. However, practically, as you begin the process of healing, it is helpful to start to make little changes to your behaviors that serve you, your time, and your energy better. And tweaking your values is a really good start. And that's all we have time for. But for more practical ways to boost your well-being, check out my YouTube channel, Dr. Audrey T, Practical Tools for Everyday Wellbeing, or my Facebook page of the same name. Or have a look at my website, www.draudreyt.com, or tune in to the Wellbeing Lounge on Tuesday nights, 9 till 10, for your hour of mental health on NLive Radio.